Your contact tracing work led you to creating a project for Garfield County, La Vacuna es para Nosotros. Give us the connection between contact tracing and this project.
So I was hired as a bilingual contact tracer. So I was doing calls both within the Latino community in the Valley and also the white community. And what became really, really clear to me over several months of doing this work as I talked to more and more people is the incredible inequities in the way that this disease, COVID-19, was moving through the community and the Roaring Fork Valley and, you know, around the world as well. But those inequities were laid really bare in the conversations I had with people. And I felt like there was a real need to get as much information to the most vulnerable populations and to tell some of these stories. So it just so happened that a little background here. I'm currently what's called a National Geographic Explorer, which is that I'm sponsored by them to work on projects and apply for grants through their programs. And they happened to have a call out at that time for rapid response grants that were designed specifically for getting scientifically accurate information about COVID-19 to the communities that were being the hardest hit, and communities of color, indigenous communities, immigrant communities. I proposed it to my team of nurses and contact tracers as a way we might be able to reach the Latino community in the Valley with some of these stories. And they thought it was a good idea, and we applied for the grant, and we got it.
What kind of inequities are you talking about?
That those who don't have financial safety nets, who maybe don't have access to medical care in the same way, who experience racism on a regular basis, who live in smaller housing situations, generally with more people, and who work on the front lines, who are service workers, who work in hotels and restaurants and grocery stores and construction, and didn't have the option of staying home and doing their work from home, were the ones that were being the hardest hit in terms of getting the sickest, having the most people in their family get sick, losing the most when they weren't able to pay rent or even have enough food to feed their families. And I'm not saying that that is not the case among white families, but it was much more pronounced in the Latino community.
When you say experiencing racism regularly, what do you mean by that?
Racism is so deeply embedded into everything, right? It's many of us don't even know that we are behaving in racist ways, and there's a lot of prejudice. So I think people experience that sometimes from their employers. They experience that sometimes in the medical system. They experience that from friends and people in the community. It can range from the words that people use to whether or not people get the services that they need. An example I guess I could give is even with vaccine rollout, so often racism is so deeply unintentional, maybe even, and embedded in our systems, that often it's a case of creating access and ways that people can get to things. So the numbers of people that we were seeing being vaccinated in the beginning, and still nationally, the numbers of Latinos are among the lowest across the country, despite them being one of the hardest hit communities. And some of that has to do with barriers to accessing the systems that provide support, whether that's a vaccine or whether that's medical care or whether that's being able to stay home if you get sick. Those things tend to fall, not exclusively, but largely along racial and class lines, which are really closely linked.
So, Sylvia, as you were talking to these people as a contact tracer, what feelings came up for you?
Oh, it was challenging. I mean, it's pretty emotionally exhausting to talk to people all day long who are suffering and existing with both the illness of COVID-19, but the ramifications of what that means of staying home and not being able to work or being afraid of getting your family members sick. So they're exhausting days. I mean, I think all of us who've worked as contact tracers are feeling a little burned out from doing the work. But it was also fulfilling to feel like I was able to also connect people to resources and to help support them through a time that was challenging. And, you know, there are a few people that were rude, but by and large, almost everyone I talked to really was hungry for information about how to protect themselves and what they were supposed to do once they were in this situation. But I won't say it didn't take an emotional toll, especially when I was doing the contact tracing and all the interviewing for these stories. My life was very, very much immersed in COVID-19, and the impact that has had is real and it's significant, and I really felt that.
So what spurred you then to apply for the grant?
All the research has shown that the best way to communicate scientific information to people is for them to see themselves reflected in another, to hear that the vaccine is safe from someone who is like them, who gives them confidence to be able to go and get the vaccine or to engage in whatever the behavior is going to protect them. And we need people to get vaccinated. Like, that's our way out of this crazy pandemic. That's what gives us economic sustainability again, ability to work, ability to function, to see friends, to have social lives. And so we need as many people vaccinated as possible. And I feel like storytelling is a really powerful way to do that. And yeah, I wanted to both help get as much of this information to our Latinx immigrant community as possible to support them and have it be told in their own words and their own stories, and to also hopefully highlight some of the people who are often never seen in the Roaring Fork Valley, people who uphold the entire tourism industry and who are very rarely seen.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
You know, we started this project at the national level. Only 3.5% of the Latino population had a vaccine, whereas 9.5% of the white population had. And those numbers have changed. You know, there's been a lot of efforts in the community. There's the Garfield County and Public Health, but also community advocacy organizations have done a lot of work around equity and trying to get vaccines to people. And those numbers have improved, but the discrepancy is still high.
Well, Sylvia Johnson, thank you very much for your work and for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.